Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I got the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink?
This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 7. My trip to South Dakota was the best summer ever. Now I don't need to go to Mars, because I've been to the Badlands. And I caught a bigger walleye than Dad when we went to the Missouri River. Then I rode my bike through these huge rocks called needles. Ooh, I also saw my first herd of bison, even a fuzzy furry baby one. I can't wait to go back and see more. There's so much South Dakota. So little time.
Save big money on everything for your projects. Now at Menards. We have it all for garden and landscaping essentials. Visit our outdoor garden center today and update your backyard space. Grid accents lattice panels have a timeless design with an innovative design that's simple to install and requires almost no maintenance. Save big on lattice panel options at Menards. View our entire selection of garden center products today on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Yo, what is going on, and welcome to another episode of the Urban Finch Podcast, a beautiful game of life, part of the Believe Network. I am Ramsey Abushala, editor of UrbanFinch.com, the co-executive directors of Vibes, Julia Monterosa, Bridget Flores, to my left. What's going on, yo?
What is going on? Happy Tuesday for us today.
Yeah, we're recording on a Tuesday, which is a little bit different for us, but we had minor technical difficulties going into this, but we're just taking things in stride. We have a very special guest joining us via Zoom. He's a businessman, entrepreneur, investor, but most importantly to this conversation, he is one of the co-founders of The Town FC, who recently joined forces with San Jose Earthquakes to be their MLS Next Pro affiliate. Min Park, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and thanks for making the time. I feel like you guys picked the 7 p.m. time slot because you guys are in L.A., and that's after the Laker game, while like right at the Warrior game. That was fine. Yeah. Different sport, but it's all good. Yeah.
No, we were actually on the drive here. I was trying to get it on my phone, but I couldn't. It was a mess trying to get the Laker game going on. But
won though. Shout out to the Lakers.
Yeah.
That's
a heads up.
You guys are here.
Again, thank you so much for taking the time. I know you're a busy guy. You got a lot of things going on. But just to kind of start things off, you've reached a certain level of success in your career, branching out into the sports field now. Talk about your journey, just, you know, growing up. You're a Bay Area native. What was it like for you, and how did you get to this point in your career?
Yeah, totally. I think sports really gives so much community and generational kind of traditions that you can have. When I first came here, I was an immigrant, and I did live in like different parts of the Bay Area, but you know, one of like the earliest moments I had was like watching like Barry Bonds play for the Giants, Steve Young play for the 49ers. I even watched like all those Warrior teams back in the day when we were not so good. And I loved it. And I love like kind of like watching sports at that level and then pretending to be those guys, right? Like out on the playground. And I think that's like such a beautiful like memory that kids need to have. Then I started, you know, as an adult traveling more, and admittedly I played like other sports, and then the global impact of soccer is so amazing. Right. I mean, you go to like any other country in the world and pick up soccer, you know, out in the street, out in the cul-de-sac, out of wherever, you know, like that's the thing to do. In America, you don't really see that as often. It's more restricted based on space and based on having a field and having enough people. And, I really hope that the culture could change, you know, and then I have my son. And, I live in the East Bay now, and, you know, one thing that's sad about the East Bay is that it's losing all its pro sports teams. Mm. Losing the Raiders, potentially losing the A's. I guess that's semi-official now. The Warriors moved across the Bay, which is fine. But, like, when you have a kid, you know, like, do you really want to commute an hour, you know, in a car each way and, you know, pay, you know, like, the inflation-rated pro-level sports? Maybe. You know, you could do that once in a while. What if I wanted to go to, like, a game, like, all the time? There are options available. And then I just think, like, seeing that level of athlete, especially on, like, a younger level trying to make it, I think it could have a lot of positive impacts for our community. So, you know, I teamed up with Ben O'Nagel to launch the Town FC in our city of Moraga at St. Mary's College and partnering with the Earthquakes. And we're really excited. We have our first home game this Saturday, on 420. And we've sold 5,500 tickets so far. It might be the tops in MLS Next Pro so far this year.
Today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoffs. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow all your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts.
Yeah, and talk about the decision to team up with the Earthquakes, because I think that's an interesting thing that we're starting to see now with the second the Earthquakes 2 turning into the Town FC, and we're starting to see other like two teams
like Galaxy becoming Ventura.
So talk about that decision. What went into the decision? Why choose the Earthquakes, and what went behind that?
Oh, that's a great question. I mean, one thing that we do out of like our family office now is that we invest in companies in all different industries, restaurants, real estate, technology, and startup businesses are hard. They're super hard, right? Like you like try your best to create a product that like people might want, but at the same time, you're trying to manage your own finances, right? To make sure that you can like make it. Like as long as possible until that like inflection point of demand hits. So for us, we thought it was a great partnership with the Earthquakes to help us gain sustainability. What that really means is that, you know, like I think like one thing about pro soccer teams is that in America at least, is that they don't have that like long-standing tradition, not really like they do in Europe or in some of these other countries where I think sports needs to be generational and last a long time and kind of overcome these startup business obstacles that have, right? Like insurance is very expensive, getting a stadium partnership is very expensive, players. So we decided to partner with the Earthquakes. It's a win-win scenario because MLS decided to have all the tier one teams have a Next Pro team, but you know, it's already hard enough focusing on your tier one team. It's hard to have a lot of focus on your tier two team. And so we're able to kind of like add focus, add, you know, like opportunities for the players, right? NIL is a big thing. Social media content is big and really help drive attention to this lower level of soccer and professional soccer. But at the same time, we want to be around for, you know, like 20, 30 plus years so that like I can take my son when he's an adult, he can take his kids. And that's really like the memories that really like make sports like pretty beautiful.
Can you talk about a little bit how that partnership works? When it comes to the players, do you have a say-so or is all San Jose-based players, from the team, they give you the players and you just work around that?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think like the any like tier two team that has a tier one team, you're really supporting the tier one team and all of its efforts, right? Whether it means helping like add playing time for the tier two players or adding more focus on commercial levels. So for us, San Jose has full control for the first couple of years with like player development, player selection. And for us, we really help to kind of, you know, like gain focus and develop like a customer base in the East Bay for them.
you've shared. I appreciate hearing like everything you're sharing about just your vision and like the purpose behind building an organization like this. And congrats to the amount of tickets you sold for the home opener. Really exciting. I wanted to ask you more about like knowing that your purpose comes from being community-based, providing something that the community can, you know, thrive off of for years to come. What impact have you seen it have on the community from the organization side? And also what impact has it had on the players themselves being a part of the Town FC?
Oh yeah, totally. I think like MLS Next Pro is only in its second year. And if you look at like the branding as a result, because it's not like they had a lot of time to put those teams together originally, like Town FC team was originally called Quakes 2. And if you look at like throughout the league, it's called Austin FC 2, LAFC 2, you know, I played sports. It's, you know, I want to get behind like with the brand, the team, the fans that like really pump me up. And that's like what really helps me hit that adrenaline level to perform at my maximum. So I think it's really helped, you know, it's still pretty new and we've only had road games so far, but it's really helped create an identity to be behind. Right. And one thing that Benno is amazing at on the soccer side is narration and telling stories. So he's done an amazing job on the media and like creating kind of different reels that kind of highlight the different players and whatnot. We have a player, Cruz Medina, that's the captain of the team. He recently returned from a stint at the national level, and it's great. And like, you know, you're finally being able to talk about like a team as the Town FC rather than Quakes 2. And then you can talk about how, you know, we've only let in 4 goals in 4 games, or there was like a crazy shootout 2 games ago. So like, I do think it makes the games a little bit more purposeful. And like being in its own. So I think everyone's been pretty excited about it so far.
Yeah. And then, you know, you kind of touched on it, but the one of the bigger challenges when starting a new team or a new brand or anything is creating that identity, creating the culture around the team, especially, you know, in a newer league with, you know, a new name. How has or what initiatives or what how have you as an organization tried to create that identity, create the culture around the Town FC?
Yeah, so it really helped. I mean, Benno played soccer in the area his whole life. He played professionally overseas. He played for the El Farolito team that's doing super well in the U.S. Open Cup. So he is like as grassroots on that soccer community and knows the ins and outs as best as possible. Secondly, because of his, you know, playing career in the local area, he knows a lot of the different youth clubs that are here that want to see exposure to that soccer level. And then lastly, you know, again, I think it's a regional aspect of it. There's so many youth clubs even in our East Bay area that might not want to drive all the way to San Jose. A lot of our 5,500 tickets is a mix of both, and it's the first home game, so it has that excitement. But, you know, what about like game number 10, right? In the summertime, it's super hot. You know, that's where you're really relying on your community to be behind you so that they get really excited about it. Secondly, you know, we're adding like a lifestyle and culture to the games themselves. You know, like our area is very family oriented, so we'll have like different activations for the little kids. And then lastly, for people who, you know, are somewhat unsure, right? Like they don't know if they want to commit to a full season, that I got a little commitment issue on that. We have different, you know, like kind of different parts of like my business from the other portfolio. We're going to have different food and beverage. We're going to have sushi at a soccer game at an affordable level, you know, having people draw in that might just want to have like a fun, you know, like event experience, and then they'll pick up soccer that way as well. So I'm pretty excited about it. You know, I mean, like it's just been an idea for over a year plus, and to finally see it being able to come in fruition, I'm super stoked.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you know, building a club, you kind of mentioned as like the startup as a startup, taking a startup approach, and having spoken to being in LA, you know, Angel City FC is a team that has taken that kind of startup approach. They have, you know, a lot of investors with, you know, startup experiences, building, you know, companies from the ground up. Have you kind of taken that approach and you having, you know, investing in a business experience in the past, do you feel like you've kind of taken that kind of, you know, tech startup approach to the town?
Yeah, totally. I think the most like impressive like thing that's really come out is LAFC. I mean, like I went to a game there. I have a friend that, you know, like is an owner of that team, and they're like, come check it out. And this was about a few years ago before the pandemic. And then I was like, wow, like this is crazy. I mean, the amount of passion that these soccer fans had for a relatively new team was like truly remarkable. Then you go to the business side, fast forward a couple of years, and they hit that 1 billion valuation, which is that, you know, like kind of sexy headline. But you only get to something like that, like people only read that headline and it's like, oh shoot, that's a ton of money. But you only get to something like that when you care about like every single detail of that fan experience and that story. And they did a great job at kind of like getting like Mia Hamm, I think Will Ferrell, No More Garcia Parra, you know, like the right kind of like, you know, like avalanche of momentum behind that whole team. And then they won the whole thing like a couple of years later. So, you know, I think like, we're doing all of that, you know, but we're next pro, so we're doing it at a smaller level. You know, St. Mary's sits about 5,000. I think we're more of a tie into kind of like how like different youth can have a bridge between, you know, like their playing careers or even like people that played in college but don't want to play professionally. You know, they still love the game. They want to see it. And this offers just like one more avenue for that. And in terms of the tech growth versus like how we're growing it, you know, I kind of have like my own feelings on how tech has grown, to be honest, the way it's shaken out in recent years. I think before there was like a propensity to just throw money at the problem. And like, as long as you grow, it doesn't matter because you'll just get the next round of money no matter what. I think soccer kind of fell into that a little bit. If you look at some of like, clubs that are starting out, like every year they have some type of financing need. But how scary is that, right? You know, Benno and I have been working on this for over, you know, like 18 months. He's probably on it like 24 plus. And to spend all of that time and be at risk of like, if I raise enough money, can I like continue? That's super scary. I'd rather just like grow a little bit slower and like have that organic feeling over time. Anyone who comes to the game, it feels awesome, so they want to like tell their friends and family and come to the next one. That's the way I think we're going to go a little bit more slow and steady, to be honest.
Yeah. And then so talk about the Bay Area sports landscape, because, you know, you growing up there, you know, you mentioned watching Barry Bonds, mentioned, you know, the We Believe Warriors, you know, Steve Young at Candlestick Park. You know, there's a lot of like these iconic memories and images when it comes to the Bay Area sports scene. So, you know, I you also mentioned, you know, now it's starting to evolve and, you know, unfortunately the, you know, the Raiders left, there's talks about the A's going. So how, what was it like growing up watching these sports teams play, create, like having these memories, you know, as a kid, you know, watching all these things, like, cause I know speaking for all three of us growing up as sports fans, like these memories are like kind of what, like, like stick with you even, you know, into adulthood. So what was it like, you know, growing up as a Bay Area sports fan, and how has that landscape evolved over the last few years?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like everything else, you know, like I think like Bay Area sports has like, you know, like had a great run of success, right? We had the 2010s with the San Francisco Giants. The Warriors obviously have been tremendously successful. The 49ers, four straight NFC champions. I mean, it's on and on and on about like, you know, like how great the sports environment is and the support behind it. You know, I think like one thing that was like truly missing is that, you know, like the Bay Area is fairly big, right? So like that's why we've always had two football teams, two baseball teams. Depending on what side of the Bay you're on, it could be a great commute, right? And we're partnered with the Earthquakes here to show like one team, one goal. But, you know, they're having like the south end of the Bay with the peninsula, and we're able to expand the reach into the East Bay. You know, like in this area, like I did mention, like a lot of the pro sports teams have left, so that we could be the only game in town. You know, we're really excited about that. And again, I think like the pandemic has even shifted a lot of people that used to live in San Francisco or other parts to this area for the first time. So they might not have any roots, right? And the best way to build roots is going to sports, meeting some other families and friends that also attend that, and you share a common interest already. So yeah, I'm very excited about what we're trying to build here.
Yeah, and then from a soccer standpoint, there's exciting teams coming. I mean, Bay FC made their debut this year. The Oakland Roots has done some great things over the years. So where does the Town FC fit in the Bay Area soccer scene?
Yeah, I mean, we're supportive of all of that. We actually have an option for a women's third level team for 2025. We won't dive too much into the details. So we're very supportive of the women's game as well. Really, you know, I think like the Bay FC and they're starting a team at the same time. They play at PayPal as well. I think that's super exciting with all of the activation that they're doing. I think all of it just shows though that soccer is ready to explode and like finally kind of take, you know, like a leap into like the, like, you know, like being one of the top American sports as well as a global sport. And I think that's why you're seeing a lot of, you know, like different interests and different teams. But, you know, like I said, the whole time, if you don't make it to the end, you know, it kind of doesn't matter, right? So for us, we just want to be one of the ones at the end when it really takes off.
Yeah. I like how you saw the gap in the community that you're part of, where you're at, and you're like willing to fill it by investing in soccer and bringing it to the community. And I think you're right. I think that having a team that's affiliated with the first team will definitely make young players or like parents that have young players that want to become pro sports, it makes them feel a little bit more accessible to the pro experience. So I think that it'll definitely, it definitely aligns with the community. It'll definitely branch off for their future, you know, careers or the journeys that they want to take into. Can you share a little bit about like what the community culture has looked like for the Town FC? Like, what have you seen in like the game experience? Like, what's the fan base like? What do they do? Do they have already like their own like slang, like vibes? Like, I want to hear that side of it.
Yeah, for sure. You know, on the slang part, I think that takes a little bit of time, and like, you know, I'm probably too old now to kind of come up with my own slang. So I'm going to be very reliant on like kind of like the younger generation going, and they'll probably have to like eavesdrop or something, right? But like the Town has been awesome. I mean, we picked like St. Mary's College because St. Mary's is it's so definitive of the whole community, and it has a beautiful feel that like we can like have for the games. But you know, it's a small town, it's a small college, but they have a top 25 NCAA men's basketball team every year, and so like the whole town gets behind this college every year in March Madness, right? So they're used to kind of like not feeling like that underdog, but like just being like totally all in and supportive of like a team that's playing in their town. And then we haven't had our first home game yet, but we did do a test game with Major League Soccer. It took months and months, right? We had to like get the field conditions approved. We had to make the Earthquakes, you know, like see that, you know, we're not just kind of like a random Joe Schmo off the street. We're really serious about this project. And we had that in August of last year, and we had over, I'm going to butcher this, about 3,000 people at that game. And so you got to really feel that energy. The age range went from, you know, like as young as young children to, you know, like retirees in the area. So the town is very much behind this effort. And it's a town that really wants more, you know, like activities like this for their citizens. So, you know, I just think, like, again, like the pandemic changed everything and changed the demographics of even this little town. And you just kind of have to go with how the world is changing sometimes. So, yeah, I'll keep you posted. I'll follow up with the slang part. Maybe I'll hear some this Saturday and I can, like, give it to you then too.
Yeah, it's possible that something comes up on Saturday. So keep an eye out.
Okay, yeah, sounds good. Yeah, yeah.
All right. Everybody wants to own a team. Everybody.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 7. My trip to South Dakota was the best summer ever. Now I don't need to go to Mars, because I've been to the Badlands. And I caught a bigger walleye than Dad when we went to the Missouri River. Then I rode my bike through these huge rocks called Needles. Ooh, I also saw my first herd of bison, even a fuzzy furry baby one. I can't wait to go back and see more. There's so much South Dakota. So little time.
Saving money on everything for your projects. Now at Menards. We have it all for garden and landscaping essentials. Visit our outdoor garden center today and update your backyard space. Grid Accents lattice panels have a timeless design with an innovative design that's simple to install and requires almost no maintenance. Save big on lattice panel options at Menards. View our entire selection of garden center products today on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Things like so fun. I think everybody's kids, like, if I own such and such team, I'll do this. Everybody sees the fun part about it. What is the hardest thing of owning a team?
The hardest part about owning a soccer team or sports team, I mean, there's so many things that you have to think about, because, like, ultimately, like, your fans are really what you're trying to, like, do everything for, right? And so there's so many things to being like, okay, I'm just going to spend 2 hours watching a game, but making it like the best possible experience for the game. Another reason why we started at the next pro level is that, you know, like back in the day, like when I first immigrated here, and what, like, my parents really wanted, and I think what a lot of people want, is, like, they want to, like, own stuff, right? They're, like, worried that, like, hey, if I don't own it, then, like, am I, like, fully invested? But what's happened with sports and, like, a lot of other different industries is that it's so expensive now. Like, the Warriors are worth $7.7 billion. And so, like, you know, like, to equate that, if you want to own 1% of the Golden State Warriors, it's, like, $77 million potentially, right? I mean, you know, I have that in my pocket, but I probably don't, like, you know, like, yeah. Well, like, you know, like, a next pro level, and, like, before soccer kind of, like, really, like, takes that next level on the media stage, what an awesome opportunity to, like, have your own community be investors. So a lot of, like, the, like, the co-owners that we have are members of the community or people in the Bay Area really trying to look to grow the sport. And they know, you know, like it's not like the NFL or NBA yet. But, you know, like, we're in it all to just be fully behind growing this team. So I think, like, to me, it feels like as close to as, like, what it must have felt to have, like, a Champions League team, like, whenever they started, right? Like, and, like, being at that ground level and seeing it be able to, like, grow over time. So, yeah.
That's so dope that you involve the community to be co-owners. I think that if we ever had the opportunity to do something like that, of course we would take it. If we were to, like, let's say we were like, yeah, I want to be a co-owner of the Town FC, like, it's my community, you know, I want to rep and I also want to support, like, what would that look like for someone as a co-owner? Like, what does their involvement look like and how involved are they in you know, the organization?
Yeah, for sure. You know, like most of our investors, just like any other investment, they want to be a part of the team. But like, you know, like the work part, you know, like, you know, we got a staff, right? Like we're going to take care of that part. But again, like you want like people to be championing it, right? Like, you know, like you want people to already feel invested before even the first game. Because, you know, like for example, our first four games are on the road or we're on the road and like, yeah, you can watch it on Apple TV. But like if no one knows about it, it's brand new, you know, it's really hard to like gain that momentum. And like that flows through the like players and like your eventual home games. But I think like what we've done a pretty good job at is picking investors and picking people that, you know, like not just like want to be an investor, but like really care about the sport, really care about how it's, you know, like activated in the community, so that even before we have game one, we have people like being like, oh, don't worry, it's going to be awesome. And you just need like a lot of that kind of like initial support going in so that when the games do occur, you know, like you just have like positive vibes, right? Like that's all about sport. And so, yeah, that's like what we've been trying to do for the past year. And I, you know, like I love our ownership group. I mean, they're all people that I would spend time with, like outside of the whole soccer thing as well. So that's just been like a pretty beautiful thing.
Yeah, and so when you look to the future, you know, you said 20, 30 years, you want the town to still be here and still be running things. So what's your like big picture goals for where you want the team, where you've envisioned the team to be, you know, 5, 10, 15 years from now? You know, is it still, you know, MLS next? Because obviously, you know, the pro rel is not here, but do you see the team, you know, at the minor league level? Do you see it trying to go professional or obviously it's not professional, but to top division? Where do you see like the future of the club going?
Yeah, I think we could go one of two ways. You know, like it is a new thing. Like we were the first affiliate deal and then Ventura City also came in after. And it is a brand new model. So like one thing is like Major League Soccer, Next Pro, all these tier one teams that we're partnering with. They all want to see like, you know, like, how's it work? You know, like what's going to happen? I think that's super fair, right? If it goes really well, I can envision us partnering with the Earthquakes, particularly even more longer term. Or like say like they're like, okay, like that was awesome. It might be too much work on our end. We're gonna go back to Quakes too. And you know, Benno and I, again, no matter what, we want the Town FC to operate. And so if we go that route, we will go independent. For me, I really like the growth behind MLS Next Pro. They're expanding teams in the markets right now. There's independent teams like Carolina Core that's fully independent and they run their own show. I think like this level of soccer in America has the opportunity to especially bridge a little bit easier than tier one. So yeah, I think this is like where we're gonna stay for a while. But like which path of like autonomy, that'll be a little bit more in question. But you know, the Earthquakes have been awesome, awesome partners in this. So yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously like it's an uphill battle to create a new team, and especially, you know, that's not at the tier one level. I think it was in a interview that you had before saying, you know, some of the losses that the lower tier teams operate at is, you know, something that's shocking. And, you know, you see that a lot where there's an idea that comes and the idea like might be great, but it's not sustainable for 4 or 5 years. And it's tragic to see, you know, when a team has to fold like that, especially if it had a great thing going. I know you mentioned like some of the things that you're going into to prevent that from happening. So can you go into that a little bit more and how to make this team as sustainable as possible? Because I think that's something from especially a lower tier soccer team is the biggest challenge out of the gate.
That's a really good question, because I think like and I think this is where Benno and I really get along, because you know he is such a pure soccer purist. I remember our test game, you know, I was so happy because I was like, man, we got like 3,000 people here in 2 weeks. That's pretty awesome and amazing. You know, we did zero marketing. We were literally canvassing flyers at like parks and going on our local Facebook groups. And yeah, we somehow like made it happen. And like, I think like we blew all expectations, right? Like out of the water. And then Benno was really sad, like super sad. And I was like, hey, are you okay? Like what's going on, man? And he's like, we lost. I was like, I know, man, we totally lost. I don't like losing myself, but like, you know, no one saw it as like a Town FC loss. We're not even like a thing yet. Like this is the test and like pilot, you know, like let's worry about that next season when it's like running up. And like he was just bummed out for 2 weeks. And that's how much passion he has for it, right? And so I think we're a perfect complement, because like while we're getting ready for the season and while we're like getting ready for our first home games and thinking about like the different things we need to like have to make the experience like cool and awesome, you know, like Benno will be like, okay, hey man, we really need this. We really need to spend X dollars on this. And given like my experience professionally and like also like advising like different other companies, I'm like, no man, what's like a return here? Like, and we really like balance each other on that, because like sometimes I'll be like, no, you don't get it. Like, we really need this part of like, you know, like of the event, because this is going to appeal to like this set of like soccer fans. You really need to understand that. And I'll be like, okay, man, I totally agree with you. You convinced me. We'll make a bet. But because we do have this like check and balance and also like somewhat accountability of each other, I think like that's really helped us like kind of like not like overdo it on the first games, like grow over time. But you know, we'll see. Again, first game's in like a couple weeks, so at Moraga and St. Mary's. So we'll see how it goes.
What about the uniforms? Do you have guys have the freedom to basically fully develop the uniforms that you guys have, or still have to run it through San Jose?
Yeah, that's another good question. We got the full freedom to do it. Again, we do have some like guidelines that we needed to do with the manufacturer. However, we have full freedom. We got to do the crest. Benno did an awesome job designing the crest to symbolize the sun and the East Bay and how it shines on the different lettering. So, we have full control of that.
And is the kit design process, was that a smooth sailing? Because I know, you know, from experience, we've tried to get a couple designs done, and it's, you know, a lot of back and forth, going back and forth with the designer. There's issues with the manufacturer and all of that. So what was that like?
Yeah, of course. I mean, so many different back and forths. You know, I think, but you know, one thing about this whole thing that like probably is like underappreciated by like how much momentum that we've been able to generate so far is that, you know, like I truly thought we were going to have like 6 months lead time, you know, for something like as big as creating a sports team. I was like, okay, I'm going to have half a year. I'm going to be able to take my time, design the kit exactly how I want. But, you know, we kind of got everything done at the buzzer. So we only had about 6 weeks to turn everything around. So like a lot of people don't think about that, but all of that back and forth time, we did that like in a very intense, you know, short time frame. So, and it's kind of all been like that, 'cause it's such a new model, It's new for MLS, it's new for MLS Next Pro and all the teams. So because you're creating something new every single time, yeah, we have just like less time. And I think we just got used to it now. So we're just able to operate like pretty efficiently.
Yeah, even with the announcement, like I feel like the announcement that you were joining the Earthquakes, like that came pretty close to the start of the Next Pro season. So
yeah, yeah. Sure, I think it was either a week or two before. I won't bore you into the like different complexities of it, but I mean, you know, again, it's like a brand new type of deal that happened, and then they were working on the Ventura City deal at the same time, so we're able to go bang bang. But all of that was a new wild wild west territory for sure.
So is Ventura the rivals? Is that the rivals of Sunset FC? Is Ventura the rivals of Sunset FC? Is that the El Tráfico?
No. For this year, it's all love, and we're all gonna like support each other. Yeah, we'll see. To me, I don't know. I guess like deep down, I kind of view Austin City too as like as the rivals because they beat us in the test game and they won the whole league last year. So to me, that's internally my rival. It's kind of like the Niners and the Cowboys in the 90s for me. So I'll say that.
Yeah. That's a good.
You want to beat the best. You want to beat the best.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
But speaking about rivals, I briefly mentioned the Oakland Roots. Earlier in the interview, but you know that's a team that's set up in the Bay. You know that they've done some great things. Ben Onego obviously was on the board there. We don't have to get into all of that. But you know, with the kind of last minute announcement of things, a lot of people were kind of maybe nervous a little bit about where the Bay Area landscape of soccer, like what the future is of that. Do you think that the pie is big enough to share between you and the Roots? Because I know you mentioned, the Bay Area is quite big, and there's a big, there's been a history of having two different teams living together in the same area. So, what's your take on all that? Because I think that's something that a lot of people have been thinking about and questioning since the announcement.
Yeah, I think that's a super fair question. Even though like we're both playing in the East Bay, it's still about like a 30 to 40 minute drive without traffic, maybe even longer with traffic, right? And so that commute dynamic for like our target fan base, which is like families, I don't know if you guys have kids, but like every minute of that commute is very meaningful. Like it's like a different attitude with your kid depending on age level. And so even though we are like somewhat adjacent, like they're kind of like in between us and the Earthquakes, so I guess if like someone really wanted to, they could like hop along like the three. But for us, we just really like wanted to be in the MLS Next Pro and in that league because we saw so much kind of like growth and commitment from MLS behind it. And so I think that's like where it really differs because they have that upstream into tier one. So you could like see, I think that's like a pretty cool thing is like you could see like a Town FC player on your team for 2 years and then get called up to the Earthquakes, right? And like, that is like an amazing like development level, like it's kind of like the NBA G League and seeing like players make it from the G League and get like the full-time NBA contract. I love those stories. So I agree. I think obviously we're all in the Bay Area, but I think we serve different purposes, especially because the Roots play in USL and are like completely independent right now. We're in two different leagues.
And I mean, Jamar Ricketts, who we had on the podcast a few weeks ago, he's played with the first team and as well as with the Town, so that could be that first kind of storyline there. But he seems like a really cool guy, and we had a great time interviewing him. So yeah, I think kind of like looking at the team's different purposes is an interesting way of looking at that as well.
Yeah, and I have no bad feelings it's I have some restaurants in our family office portfolio, I was going to be mad at like every restaurant that was near one of my restaurants, you know, like how could I? Yeah. But I'm like happy that like restaurants like can survive and like, you know, like add community involvement in a different way. So yeah. I have like no ill feeling. I'm very supportive of everyone trying in the space.
Yeah. Nice. Great. That's, I think that's
a great way to put it.
Yeah.
Amazing way to put it. Cause at the end of the day, this, what soccer is going to happen in the next few years, it's going to be so much soccer coming into the U.S. and everybody's open to come to the space as long as they want to grow it and show the love of the game.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. And like, you know, like I think like, cause soccer is again, we're about to hit that like turning point, right? With the World Cup, Copa America. Yeah. And like, I think, and like, especially with the way, like I would equate like potential sports affiliations in the soccer space, because soccer is so unique. People are like crazy passionate about soccer. Like, yes, they're crazy passionate about other sports, but soccer fans, like, you know, like they feel it, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think like it's kind of like the way music has evolved. Like before, you know, like growing up, me and my friends, we just had like the same CDs that we all listened to, right? Like, so it's same 10. And then like the internet revolution came and now everyone has Spotify. We're like, you know, I can't even keep up with like how many artists there are. It's just like, but it's cool that you can have so many different options. I kind of think the soccer side will like have a little bit of the same impact. Like, what if you're more connected to the roots? That's awesome. Mm-hmm. And like, what if you're more connected to the town? What if you're more connected to the earthquake? I think like, having like different options for the fan base here, like being tied to people's identities, I think it's a, you know, like the best way to grow it.
Yeah. And then, I mean, we even saw it with LAFC coming to LA, kind of rose the game of the Galaxy as well. So,
It gave them more
competition to kind of, you know, up their level of, you know, whether it's marketing, whether it's players, you know, whether it's all across the board. Gives more opportunities to, you know, look at, you know, what's working, what isn't working, what needs to be improved. And so, you know, just competition is in general a good thing, right?
Yeah, and I'll give you, like, another example. I mean, like, yeah, our first game Saturday at PayPal, and, like, the very next day, the Tier 1 team, the Earthquakes and the Galaxy are playing in the Clasico. And, like, a lot of people are like, whoa, I didn't even know that game was on Sunday. I might watch that game now too, because you guys ever, so you just never know with all of like these touch points and marketing and brand awareness. So I think everyone just helps everyone here.
Yeah.
I think we even touched on that with like Bay FC being added to California, right? Like it gives a good rivalry to Angel City FC, and then, you know, we add San Diego Wave on top of that. But we were also talking more about how like Angel City FC and Bay FC, I think that is more of a rivalry in with intensity compared to San Diego Wave, just because of the NorCal, you know,
vibe. So I get it.
What are your thoughts there? Like, what do you think about that? And like, do you think that that's a good kind of rivalry to have?
Oh yeah, I mean, like, I think like those narratives, right? Like that really makes you super committed, right? I mean, like I love Kobe Bryant now as an adult, but like when the Warriors used to play the Lakers, and like all my friends would like every single like trash bucket shot them in the office or in school, like Kobe. Be like Kobe every time, right? Yeah. Or I went to Cal, and you know, like people think like Cal Stanford is the big rivalry. I mean, like for me, it was always USC. I mean, we had Marshawn Lynch, like USC had Reggie Bush. Yeah. And so like, and like Pete Carroll, and, you know, and like following him to like Seattle against San Francisco in the NFL. Right. I mean, those are like kind of the narratives that make people like super invested, right? So yeah, I think like it's our first season. We'll see. Some of those rivalries are like organically driven based on the game. So like, you know, the Warriors and Clippers were a rivalry, right? With Chris Paul and Lob City. And like, that wasn't a rivalry when I was growing up. That was just like a, you know, like they kept like meeting each other in the playoffs. So that's why you're like, who's our rival right now? I don't know. We'll kind of see, but yeah, that's why I'm leaning toward Austin right now. But we'll see how it goes.
Seeds.
Yeah, exactly.
I still can't stand Giant fans as a Dodger fan.
Yeah, exactly.
You guys were winning a few years ago. I was like, oh, I hate you guys so much.
Yeah, those 2010, 2012, 2014 run, that's, you know, that was amazing. But yeah, listen, Min, this has been an amazing conversation. And I know you've got places to be, you got things to do. I don't want to hold you.
Finish the Warriors game.
Yeah, and there's the Warriors game going on. So I'll let you get to that. But before we wrap, is there any last few things that you want to plug? Anything that you want to, touch on before we wrap things up?
Yeah, I think your podcast is amazing. I listen to a lot of the different ones that you guys have had recently leading up to this. And your guys' messaging on like kind of like adding in the culture behind soccer, which is like the hard part, right? Like, you know, like we're so invested in other sports here. I think it's a great thing that you guys are doing. So anytime you guys are up in the Bay, let us know. We're happy to host you.
We will definitely hit you up. And, you know, shout out to you because you're doing that. You're bringing in, you know, the culture, the community into the Town FC. And we appreciate you sharing, you know, the story behind it. And we're excited. We can't wait to have the opportunity to, you know, witness it in person when we're in the Bay Area.
For sure. Yeah.
Okay. Sounds good. I hope the Warriors can do the same as the Lakers. And
we don't know about that one.
All right. Take care. See you, man. Thank you.
Bye.
Dogs are an important part of our lives. That means protecting them from parasites. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus, afoxolaner, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're delicious and easy to give. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask about NexGard Plus Chews.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.